You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. And now, here's Gary.
Hello, this is Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President for Public Policy at the James Dobson Family Institute. Welcome to our weekly podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. Be sure to tell your friends about it and come back to join us every week. Well, a lot's going on. We've got a special guest today who will be well-known by those of you that regularly listen to the podcast. I'm referring to my good friend, Tom Rose. Tom is a foreign policy expert. He was a senior advisor and strategist in the Trump White House. Tom's also the former publisher and editor of the Jerusalem Post. Really, I think most people would say that he put the Jerusalem Post on the map, made it a very influential paper in Israel. Tom is an American, but he also has roots in Israel, and he happens to be there right now. And folks, you know, if you're following the news, that this is an incredibly tense time in Israel. Israel's being threatened by the nation of Iran and all of Iran's proxies. And I wanted to connect with Tom today while he's in Israel, because as Tom knows, and you know, listener, that millions of American Christians not only pray for God's hand of protection on the United States every day, but we pray for God's hand of protection on the nation of Israel. Israel and the United States are the two pillars of Judeo-Christian civilization, of Western civilization. But there's another reason here too. For many of us that are Christian, we believe there is a biblical mandate to stand with Israel and to stand with the Jewish people. So with that as sort of an introduction, Tom, welcome to the podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. You're experiencing some amazing things right now in Israel. You arrived there right as a very important Jewish holiday was taking place. And I'm not sure most Christians, even though they support Israel, wouldn't really know much about the holiday. So briefly describe to us why this holiday, a time of lamentation, is so important in Jewish tradition.
This holiday, and first of all, it's always not only a pleasure, but a great honor to be with you, Gary. You're an extraordinary political force, an extraordinary lover of Israel and the Jewish people, and a tremendous advocate for conservative causes back home in the good old USA. The holiday is the National Jewish Day of Mourning that commemorates basically 3,000 years of one calamity after another that our people, the Jewish people, have suffered from the times of antiquity to modern days. It's a day where we assume the position of a Jewish mourner. We don't eat or drink. It's a 25-hour fast. We don't sit on chairs. We sit on the floor. We don't wear leather. We read from the book of Lamentations. We offer special prayers and tributes to those who have come before us and suffered in our name and sacrificed in our name. It's a unique day in that there have been so many specific defining tragedies for the Jewish people. The destruction of both holy temples in Jerusalem occurred on this day.
So the day wasn't just pulled out of the ether and say, hey, let's make this a day to remember some challenging times. It's actually a day where things have happened to the Jewish people that they must not ever forget.
Oh, absolutely. Our enemies know our calendar well. The edict of expulsion from Spain, signed by the king and queen of Spain in 1492, was signed on this particular day, the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av. There have been other events over the course of Jewish history that have happened on this particular day. The Bible, Gary, even references from the book of Deuteronomy that the 12 spies that were sent to assess the land by Moses and Joshua came back, actually returned with their ill tidings that these are people you cannot conquer, don't dare go in it, occurred on this day. Of course, that is probably biblical commentary that came subsequently, but nonetheless, the mood is there, the theme is there, and as you can well imagine, this particular year, this particular day was rent deep with meaning because of the challenges to the physical existence of the state of Israel that they're confronting at this moment.
Well, you know, Tom, you were here in the United States a week or so ago, and you know what the media has been like. The media, by and large, you know, it's very left-wing, it's very progressive, almost across the board now. There's almost no dissenting voices. And much of that media sees Western civilization generally as being bad and flawed, and it needs a major reform or whatever. But it certainly sees Judeo-Christian civilization in a negative light. And almost all the news coming out of the Middle East pictures Israel as the aggressor. You're killing civilians, the poor people, the Palestinians, they have no place to go, there's refugees. But the reality is that the current time of tension is because Israel took out some really bad individuals in Hamas and Hezbollah that hate Israel and also hate the United States. You did us a favor. And Iran has been threatening to retaliate with a mighty blow against the people of Israel. So just describe the geopolitical situation, because Israel's borders really are not borders at this point. They're fronts in a war that is being threatened against them.
Israel faces enemies on seven separate fronts. In the north, it's Hezbollah and their paymasters in Iran. From Iran itself, the Islamic Republic has spent hundreds of billions of dollars building a military, largely with U.S. sanctions relief assistance provided by Joe Biden in the past 3 years. Iran has accumulated more than $100 billion in either sanctions relief from the United States or sanctions that we no longer enforce. They've used those funds, those monies, to build up what all these military analysts and experts say is one of the largest ballistic missile capabilities anywhere in the world. Hamas is still active. Tel Aviv was hit with missiles yesterday morning, believe it or not, from Hamas. So that war is not over. The Houthis in Yemen, this gaggle of ninth century barbarian Islamic extremists in Yemen, have been firing hundreds and hundreds of drones and ballistic missiles, explosive drones, into Israel from the south. There are Iranian-backed militias in both Iraq and Syria that have been attacking Israel. So Israel is facing a crisis not of its making. And the thought of the kind of devastation that a war like this could bring is terrifying. On the other hand, I think this is one of the first times in the history of Israel where there's a sense that this just cannot go on. Israel cannot live with the hangman's noose around its neck getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Something is going to have to be done to cut that noose off Israel's neck.
Yep, there's no question about it, Tom. Nobody likes war. War is a terrible thing. But when a nation is surrounded by its enemies, and those enemies are constantly wearing you down, a nation, any nation, every nation has a right of self-defense. If the United States was facing a hostile Canada, a Mexico led by our sworn enemies, if there were parts of our country where we were being infiltrated regularly, people were blowing us up literally every week, the United States would not sit around and twiddle our thumbs. We wouldn't ask other nations whether we could defend ourselves. We would defend ourselves, hopefully, although sometimes I wonder with the current leadership we have. But Tom, Iran has threatened this major attack. And I know you know this, but I just want to remind our listeners, you know, we just found out in the last couple of weeks that the Iranian government is also at the same time trying to interfere in our presidential election. They've been hacking into the internet presence of President Trump and trying to hurt him. More importantly than that, and this should outrage every American, Iran has, we now know this because our own government has told us, They've got suicide squads in the United States trying to assassinate people that you worked with just a few years ago. The former president, Donald Trump, former Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, various foreign policy advisors. And yet here we are in the United States, in Washington, D.C., and the current administration seems more concerned about restraining you all, restraining Israel, than they do in sending a clear message to Iran. If you send suicide squads into America, you're really asking for trouble from us, not just Israel.
You know, it's interesting that the news of the Iran-backed hacks of the J.D. Vance vetting files from the Trump campaign seems to have garnered more media attention back in the States than the news of Iran's intelligence operatives were trying to intervene, shall we say, more directly in the presidential election by assassinating former President Trump. It really is. In late June, federal law enforcement and intelligence agencies learned of this plot to assassinate, to murder the former president, and they arrested a Pakistani Muslim and charged him with cooperating in a plot organized by the IRGC, which is the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Council, to recruit people to carry out the murder of the former president. So talk about election interference. I think that would qualify.
Yeah, and interestingly, it's linked to another issue that's really big in America right now. These operatives that are trying to carry out these assassinations, the information I've read is they come in and out of the United States, depending on what the situation is. How do they do that? Do they fly into LaGuardia or to Reagan National Airport? No, they're crossing our open southern border, which again is an issue that is being hotly debated. And as we know, former President Trump wants to close that border, and for a lot of reasons, but one of them is for our own national security. Well, Tom, so you're there. There was this really significant Jewish holiday. I was expecting that the attack by Iran could have come on that holiday. And I just realized this morning as I was preparing for our conversation that there was an earthquake that hit Lebanon and Syria at the time that Israel would have been observing the holiday. And I'm wondering if this is another example of God's hand of protection in Israel, because it could have affected whatever plans Hezbollah had in recent days to launch a massive attack with Iran's backing on the Israeli people.
That is certainly something that we hope and pray for. At the end of the day, Israel has a few advantages over its enemies. Number one advantage is that Israelis have nowhere to go. This is it. This is their home. They'll fight for it. If they're reduced simply to their fingernails, they'll fight with their fingernails to protect their home that they've spent the past century building and defending and protecting. And the other thing that we have, Jews have, and the people of Israel have, are the prayers of people like you, all the friends of the James Dobson Family Institute. I cannot emphasize enough how important that is, if only for the morale of Israelis. Let's just say for a moment, the prayers have no impact whatsoever with the master of the universe. They have tremendous impact here. People are revived by it. They're strengthened by it. They're inspired by it. They take great fortitude from the power and the numbers of so many American Christians who are praying for the peace and security of the state of Israel. It's almost difficult to express in words how profound the meaning of your prayers is here.
You just express it in words very well, Tom. And of course, you and I are both men of faith, and we believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus does answer prayers. And so it's great that there's an encouragement in the knowledge of these prayers for the Israeli people. But I also still believe, and I know you do too, that God's hand of protection is on the United States and it's on Israel. And that's the ultimate iron dome that both nations can count on. Tom, stay safe there. Spread the word. Millions of American Christians pray for Israel every day. And hopefully for both Israel and the United States, there are better days ahead as we turn our hearts back to that God who is the source of our liberty. Thanks for being with us today.
Amen, and God bless you.
Well, folks, thank you for being with me here at the podcast Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm always glad when you join us. Be back next week as we discuss other subjects of interest to followers of Jesus Christ and to Americans who are desperately looking for answers at a time of so many challenges and threats to our great country as well as to the nation of Israel. See you next week.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.